The Cap of J-Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago!
That's why I say shot, no shot. With Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I say shot.
Got no shot brought to you by Club Hawthorne and the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. If you're going to bet the Breeders' Cup next Friday and Saturday like I am, make sure you download that Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. And you can bet the ponies, and you can even hear the little secretariat sound effect in your head as you get ready to try and win some cash. If you want to bet sports, points bet sportsbook. We say good morning to the snorling man, Shay Norling.
Good morning, boys. Connor, good to talk to you again. How are you this morning?
Shay, always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Of course, buddy. Cap, how are we doing?
Good to go, kid.
Ready for the football weekend? What?
By the way, Mad Hatter just tweeted at us, said, Eli meets zero criteria for the Hall of Fame. Never a top five quarterback in any season he played in 16 years. It's actually a ridiculous argument. He might get in only because his last name is Manning. He's right.
Thank you, Mad Hatter. Let's get into shot or no shot. I want to start with the Bears defense.
Now do Bradshaw's numbers. Sorry, Jay. Just to go to Bradshaw's numbers.
I mean, he was awful sometimes.
He was.
Look at him. He's really bad. He was really bad sometimes. Yeah, all right, I'm sorry.
Five Super Bowls.
Right, he's one of three quarterbacks to win more than four Super Bowls. So, all right.
No doubt about it. Super Bowls matter.
I have a question about the Bears' defense. Defensive coordinator Alan Williams said it won't just be business as usual without Robert Quinn. He said Quinn's contributions didn't always show up on the stat sheet, but he was certainly making an impact on this defense. And he added that it will be up to some of Bears' young players to, quote, fill the void. So my question, shot or no shot, Trevis Gibson can fill the void left by Robert Quinn?
Robert Quinn has one sack. So are we talking about the void of production this year? That's a shot, yeah. If we're talking about the leadership and you saw how emotional Roquan Smith was, if you didn't, we played the audio the other day. I suggest you go back on the pod and listen to it because he was exceptionally emotional on what he meant to the room and to him. So, no, he cannot fill the leadership void. The productivity void, yeah, that's a shot.
I think they can, too, from a production standpoint. I mean, Quinn had an amazing year last year, 18 sacks, right? I mean, that's a Bears, 18 and a half, I think, right? That's his single season record for the Chicago Bears.
Correct.
I think this kind of skews a little bit what they were trying to get done with the Robert Quinn trade, though, right? Like, I think you got everything you could out of Robert Quinn. You had him there for that leadership role in camp. You had him there for a couple of weeks. Now you get to get, you know, some of the younger guys in more snaps against the Cowboys and every week going forward. They need to be able to fill that void because Quinn wasn't coming back next season, and I don't know how veteran of a guy they're going to sign in the offseason to go rush the passer either, because this is, you know, as Ryan Poles has told you, this is pretty much a full rebuild, if not for it, with the exception of Justin Fields.
Yeah, they have a couple of nice players on the offensive side. David Montgomery is a nice player. He's not, oh my God, Walter Payton came back. He's a nice player. Khalil Herbert's right. A nice player. They're very replaceable players. Wide receiver room, Darnell Mooney's a really nice three on a good team. A nice three. He's not a one. He's not a two. I mean, just look last night. Take the Buccaneers. They lost last night. Is he a one on that team? No. That's Mike Evans. He had 120-some yards. Is he a two? Yeah. No. That's Chris Godwin. His name's Chris Godwin. He plays for Tampa. Is he their third best receiver? Maybe.
Probably because of injury. Brashad Perriman, they're running
Russell
some.
Russell Gage.
What's the tight end?
Scotty Miller.
They've got that rookie tight end now, too. I can't think. Can't remember his name, but he was got a lot of targets last night.
Yeah,
had a lot of
Cameron
drops.
Cameron Brate is out. So, yeah, he's a really nice player, and I'm glad we have him. He's not a one or a two. Shay.
All right, I want to stick with the defense. Jaquan Brisker was the defensive star of the game on Monday night for the Bears. He improved his season totals to 42 tackles, and he finally got his first interception with an impressive leaping one-handed snag on a floater from Mac Jones. ESPN has denied that that ball hit the sky cam and offered an alternate angle that made it look like it really didn't. So that was all Jaquan Brisker on that interception. He will presumably match up with CeeDee Lamb this Sunday in Dallas. My question, shot or no shot, Jaquan Brisker is an all-pro defensive back in the making.
Yeah, that's a shot. Not this year, maybe not next year, but what is he, 22 years of age? Yeah, when that kid's 25, 26, if the good Lord blesses him with good health, yeah, he has a definite shot at being an all-pro. I loved him the first time I went to training camp. You know, I texted you guys from training camp and said, this guy walked by me, and I went, what linebacker is that? And they said, that's Jaquan Brisker. Oh, my God. And then watched him blow up one of the running backs in a drill. I mean, crush him. You could hear it. I want that guy. He's a stud.
Yeah, I think there's a shot. Good Lord, like you said, the good Lord blesses him with health, and if Ryan Poles blesses him with a pass rush that's a little bit better than what the Bears have had, that pass rush helps defensive backs, man. That kind of pressure on quarterbacks make you throw the ball a little faster, makes those picks happen a little quicker. Yeah, sure, why not? That's where that pick needs to be for Ryan Poles and the rest of the Bears organization, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I like him. I think he's got talent.
Shay.
All right, Thursday Night Football saw a bit of sad history last night. Tom Brady lost three consecutive games for the first time ever. The Bucs fell to 3-5, and once again, the offense looked anemic outside of garbage time. So my question, a little facetious maybe, shot or no shot, the 3-4 Bears are actually better than this version of Tampa Bay?
That's no shot. Stop. They're not better than the Tampa Bay
Bucs. You had to think about it for a second, didn't you?
No, because the question was so bizarre and out there that I was wondering what you were doing about 2 o'clock this morning. No, they are not better than the Tampa Bay Bucs. Tampa Bay has more turmoil than we do. We are what we are. But no, they're not better than the Bucs. Connor.
No, of course they're not. Of course they're not. They absolutely can't be. But by your math, Cap, Justin Fields has 3 wins and so does Tom Brady. So they're the same quarterback. They're the same guy this year.
Yeah, but as a team, no. I can name you right off the top of my head a handful of guys that, oh, my God, they're light years better than anything we have. Whether that's Levante David or Vita Vea or Chris Godwin or Mike Evans. So, yeah. No,
I mean, you just did I'm just taking a cheap shot. You did the rosters, right? I mean, like, it takes a while you're going down the Bears roster to get to a starter for the Buccaneers, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct. Shay.
All right, sticking with Thursday Night Football, it was once again marred on social media. The first half saw just 13 points, and overall it was another kind of subpar football game on display in primetime. Amazon Prime has seen their ratings on the broadcast plummet as the weeks go on. It started at 13 million for Chargers and Chiefs in week 2. It's down to just 7.8 million for the week 7 matchup with the Cardinals and Saints per Nielsen. So my question, shot or no shot, Thursday Night Football is the worst live product in sports?
No shot. It's still the NFL. It's like pizza. I prefer Malnati's, but there's not bad pizza. No shot. Worst live product.
I don't know, Cap. I've had some press box pizzas that get really close to bad.
Yeah,
that, I think you're
that'll
right.
happen. But it's still
yeah,
pizza.
Yeah, it will happen.
Still pizza.
If you've ever been down to Texas for a Rangers game, do not snag a pizza. It is gonna redefine what you think about the world of pizza, and it is gonna cost you a handful of time in the press box bathroom to get rid of that whole thing. It is, oof, boy, it's a process.
Not good.
I think though, I don't know. Thursday night, I'm still gonna watch it. I watched last night. It was on. It
I
was
did
there.
I, so did I.
I can't say though, like. You guys, it's the job, right? I mean, we watch these things as part of the job. But there's a handful of games every week that you just kind of like fade to the background and go, okay, well, this is the afternoon game, or this is the Thursday night game, or I can spend a little extra time making dinner, half pay attention to it. And it's always that Thursday night game, isn't it?
Yeah. Again, is it the best? Is it Bills Chiefs? No, it's still the NFL.
I'm at a point, though, where I could do away with it. I would not miss Thursday night football if the NFL evaporated it and went totally on Sundays.
I would. I like coming home last time. My wife was at a business dinner, and I'm on the couch. I'm watching the game. Yeah, it's NFL football. Count me.
I'll say this, too. I've really enjoyed the broadcast. I think Al and Kirk Herbstreit are really good together. I've enjoyed it. I think what really speaks to it, too, is Herbstreit has had to, you know, because of the quality of these games, he's really had to go deep for analysis, and he's done it. You know, like I think he's been really good, a value add on those broadcasts. Maybe I'm biased because I've grown up liking Kirk Herbstreit and what he's been able to do and with his television career. But I enjoy the broadcast while the product is bad. And I think that says something too about the NFL and the people they're able to bring to bear on a broadcast like that.
Shay.
All right, the World Series is going to start tonight. The Astros will host Kyle Schwarber, Beer League softball player, and the Philadelphia Phillies. The Astros, of course, won the title in 2017. That was marred by the biggest cheating scandal in baseball history.
And should have had the trophy stripped, and Rob Manfred screwed that up.
So, shot or no shot, a cleanly won title for the Astros with this team would actually legitimize the win in 2017.
No, nothing will legitimize the win in 17. Nothing will ever legitimize what they did. They cheated to win that championship. This is a really good team. I want their manager to win, so I'm rooting for him because I love Dusty. But the 2017 team, I don't care if they win the next 70 in a row. It doesn't matter. That team was crooked, dirty, and those guys that won that ring actually didn't.
I'm with you on Dusty. Long live Dusty Baker. That yep. I hope he gets his World Series. It's tough for me. I like Rob Ford, and I like the whole broadcast team is fun, and they're great to have in the ballpark when the Astros are in town. And it's weird when you play the Astros because you get a whole broadcast crew in that you really like to hang out with before the game. And then the game starts, and you're like, oh, God, it's the Astros. Nobody likes this. And then you go in, you do it the next day, and you have a lot of fun, and then you get to the game. I'm all for Dusty winning a title. No way does it validate 2017. Like, there's just no way. But I promise you one thing, Cap and Shay. Do you know who's going to go around all offseason, regardless of what team he signs a $350 million contract with, and tell you that this actually validates a 2017 World Series? That's Carlos Correa. That man's going to be out there with this hot take. So just get ready for it. Just gird yourselves for what that's going to sound like and what it's going to look like.
Future Cub.
Maybe.
They're not going to go down. I don't think they're not giving anybody an 8-year deal, and that's what he's looking for. And I wouldn't give anyone an 8-year deal that has an injury history like he does. Would you, Connor?
I think I might. It depends on how the contract is structured. I don't know, it's getting really into the weeds, but like, you know, if we're talking about deferred money, if we're talking about player opt-outs, if we're doing all that kind of thing, yeah, I can't just say no 8-year deal regardless and no matter what. Carlos Correa is a really good player, even if he is kind of insufferable at times. And I'd like to have him as a shortstop on my squad. I'd be all about it.
Yeah, I would rather have Trey Turner.
2 years older.
Correct. Doesn't have the injury history. Steals bags for me. Yeah, I'd go that. Now, again, if I have to give Trey Turner an 8-year deal, no,
yeah.
I'm out.
Well, but that's – so it's interesting you mentioned it. And I know we're talking football and stuff, but, like, yes, Turner takes a lot of bases. Everybody's going to steal a lot of bases in the new Major League Baseball. Like, everybody's going to take a lot of bases. I think it's going to be really interesting to see that value spike for guys, even like Carlos Correa, who's got enough speed to go ahead and take second base when you can only throw over twice and you got to get him on the third try.
Yeah. His injury history, and I like him as a player. Don't get me wrong. You know, if the Cubs sign him and they get him, that's their money, not mine. I'm not the one paying him. I'd love to see him in a Cubs uniform. That said, if I was making the signing myself, 5 years with Trey Turner, for me, better value than 8 for Correa. Shay, we got to take a timeout. 312-332-3776. The picks segment. Snorling picks a bunch of games. We then give you our predictions. That is next.
Captain Jay Hood. Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
Every week, and then we make our selections against the spread. He's a football maniac who now wants to get rid of Thursday night football so he can watch, Coastal Carolina play at Washington State.
Utah was at Wazoo last night. When games are in the Palouse, I want it on my TV.
Vatek NC State was crazy last night.
It's funny, like, college football, I'll watch some tomorrow. But if you ask me to power rank, you and I did this on a private text chain. We didn't do it the whole group. Rank the sports in order of my love. College football is like fourth or fifth.
You don't know what you're missing, man.
I like it. I'm not saying I hate it. Down the list, baseball. I love baseball. I know Connor's with me. And by the way,
it's on top of the list, baby. Love college football, though. I love throwing on game day in the morning, the pomp, the circumstance, the mascot heads.
Game day's a great show. Love game day. And it's fun. I'm not saying I dislike it, but NFL better than college, baseball better than college football. Yes, definitely. And by the way, there's this long haired dude that works upstairs that I report to, he's my manager. He is the director of content. He's so anti-Dusty that it's insane. Dusty Baker really is a Hall of Famer by any measure.
Let's do the picks. We'll get to our World Series conversation in about 10 minutes.
I can't wait. I hope Dusty gets in the Hall of Fame and then says, I'd like to start this by saying, Danny Zetterman in Chicago. Sylvie, take that. Now let's go.
Just like Michael Jordan's Hall of Fame speech.
A lot of games to get to. Let's rock and roll. I want to do the records quickly. In the lead is the other producer position today filled by Charlie. In second is Cap. In third is Shay. And pulling up the rear, Shay, me, and pulling up the rear is Hoodie. Connor picking for Hoodie today.
That's so hilarious. Hoodie's in last and he's the football. We have a segment where he gives his best stuff.
All right, let's get started. Hoodie. Number 19, Kentucky at number 3, Tennessee. Tennessee laying 12 in Knoxville. I don't think they can cover a big number. They've got Georgia on deck. They're already looking ahead. Give me Kentucky to go in and cover.
Connor, go ahead.
My brother-in-law went to Kentucky. Give me Kentucky to cover. That's how I'm going to rationalize all these picks, boys. Hang on. I'm making a run for first. My brother-in-law went to Kentucky. Give me the Cats.
I'm going Tennessee. Let's go, Vols! I actually have a Tennessee football jersey in my car right now. With the last name on it. It's a 16 jersey. Bright orange, white letters, white numbers. It says Manning on the back. Not Eli. Danny, take that. Go ahead.
I'm going Kentucky here to cover the 12 points. 12 is just a lot against a Mark Stoops coach team. There's also a look-ahead spot for Kentucky. They got Georgia next week. I'm going to take Kentucky to cover.
All right, number 2, Ohio State, laying 15.5 in Happy Valley, taking on number 15, Penn State. Ohio State, to me, is just a way better football team. Give me the Buckeyes.
Connor?
Is the two least favorite teams in the Big Ten, both fan bases, are just absolutely it's bad. I don't like either of them very much. On Wisconsin. I'll take Ohio State to cover the 15.5. I'm with you.
Penn State, they are a good team, not a great team. Ohio State is a great team. 15.5, is that the number?
That is.
Too many points. Give me Penn State.
Yeah, I agree. Penn State always plays Ohio State tough. I think that they're just not as bad as what they showed against Michigan. I'm going to take Penn State at home to cover 15.5.
If it were a night game and a whiteout, I would have gone Penn State. But noon kick, Fox big noon kickoff, I'm taking the Buckeyes. Michigan State at Michigan, the rivalry. Michigan, a 23-point favorite. Historically, these games are close. It's hatred. Weird stuff happens. God have mercy on my soul. Give me the Spartans.
Is this a Saturday night game?
6:30 Central Time.
I'm going to be up in Wisconsin. I'm going to be locked in on the couch. Locked in. Go ahead, Connor.
Michigan State to win. This is where you make the ground up, baby. This is where roll Sparty. This is where it all happens. Every year, this happens to Michigan. Every year, there's that one game. Every year, we look at Harbaugh and say, ah, buddy, what are you doing? Why is Ann Arbor on fire? Michigan State wins outright.
Okay. Connor, I have great admiration and respect for a lot of your sports acumen. Little too geeky at times with the analytic stuff. I've told you that. Couple movie reviews really sucked, but other than that, I'm a huge Connor McKnight guy. We've worked at multiple places together.
That we have.
My analytics site says Michigan is a 94.7% chance of covering the spread. I ain't going against those analytics. Give me the Wolverines in an absolute beatdown. I'm laying the point.
I'm with you, Cap. Michigan State's capital B bad. I'm just going Michigan at home in Ann Arbor.
Snorling has a degree from there is embarrassing.
Go ahead. Under the shield. Broncos at Jaguars. The Jags 2.5-point favorites. I can't bet on Russell Wilson after he did high knees on the plane to London. Give me Jacksonville.
Yeah, can I pass? Is there a pass option? Is there a I don't want to watch this? I guess give me the Jags to cover 2.5 at home. That feels right. I feel bad for Russ, you know, just because the hustle gods have taken him over and they're playing puppeteer with him on that plane. You're right, Shay. That's not a thing that's not okay. You can't do that. You're not allowed to do that on a plane to anywhere. Nothing of this. Oh, God. London. How long is that flight? Cap, you've probably done it on the Concorde, right?
Yeah. I've not done it on the Concorde. I did it on a Cessna. It took a while, but...
You did it on a Cessna?
No, I did it on American Airlines or United, one of them. So you went which way?
Jags.
You took the Jags?
Sure.
I'm all in on Trevor Lawrence. I'm taking the Jaguars. Rock and roll!
I'm going to go back to my favorite hobby, which is betting against Russell Wilson. Give me the Jags here.
All right, squeeze for time. Let's rock and roll, boys. Patriots, 2.5-point favorites at the Jets. I know everybody's down on the Patriots. It's a massive overreaction. I'm on the Patriots this weekend.
Yeah, and they'll cover, too. And they'll cover the 2.5 against the Jets.
Yep, I'm all in. Patriots, it's a week-to-week league. Don't overreact. Give me the Patriots.
4-for-4. Belichick's not losing 2 in a row, especially 1 to the Jets.
Steelers at Eagles. Philly, a 10.5-point favorite. I just can't buy this Steelers team. I know Tomlin's great as a dog, but the Eagles are dominant, especially in the first half. That defense is great. Give me the Birds.
I would take the Eagles if it were 20.5.
Wow. They've got a secret weapon, the Steelers. His name is Mitchell Trubisky. He comes off the bench. He rallies the troops. He puts up points. He finds a way. He ain't getting off the bench this week. Eagles got juice. They got Robert Quinn in that locker room. They went, our management's all in. We just took on a ton of salary for the 23 and 24 seasons. They're all about us winning. Give me the Eagles. They win it by 17.
It's a lot of points against Mike Tomlin. I'm going to go ahead and take the Steelers to cover, even though I don't love it.
G-Men at Seahawks. The Seahawks, a 3-point favorite behind resuscitated quarterback Geno Smith. I'm taking the Seahawks.
I think I'm Team Giants the rest of the way. I think I'm going to get weird. I think I'm going to start betting on the Giants because everyone else seems to hate them.
Okay, the Seahawks, everyone said in the preseason, they're the worst team in the NFL, Cap. They're not. They're actually very well coached. They're a decent, not awesome, decent football team. The Giants' run comes to an end for a week. It's this week. Give me the Seahawks.
I was one of those people saying that about the Seahawks, but I've been proven wrong thus far. Give me the Seahawks this week.
Packers at Bills, Sunday night football in Western New York. The Packers, a 10.5-point dog. Aaron Rodgers getting 10.5. I hate it, but I got to do it. Give me the Pack.
I told you earlier that I would take the Eagles if they were 20.5-point favorites. I would take the Bills if they were 30.5-point. Okay, not really 30.5, but Bills. Bills, Bills, Bills. And I will taste the tears of Aaron Rodgers' sadness.
There are a ton of injuries to that Buffalo team. Yes, they're a great team. Ton of injuries. Absolutely. Give me the Packers and the 10.5. Take that.
Bills are rolling. Packers are reeling. I'm taking the Bills.
49ers, 1.5-point favorites in Los Angeles. You don't get home field advantage when you're the Rams. Whose house? 49ers' house. Give me Jimmy G.
Got to go the other way. I'm going to take the Rams, and I don't like it.
You know what? Against my better judgment, I'm siding with CM McKnight. Give me the Rams.
The Rams are secretly kind of a mess right now, and the 49ers, Sean McVay is 4-8 against Kyle Shanahan. I'm going to go San Francisco here.
All right, final game of our slate. Bears in Dallas taking on the Cowboys. Cowboys a 9.5-point favorite. Priority number one, Justin Fields, get out of that building with your life intact. I'm taking the Cowboys -9.5.
Yeah, I would do the same, and I want Justin Fields breathing by the end of it. That's the only joy here.
Yeah, I think this game will hover right around 10. I don't think this is like, 37-7, like the Bears lost to the Cowboys in the playoffs in 1977. I think they'll battle, they'll compete, they will fall short. Holding my nose, give me the Cowboys.
I'm kind of worried this is going to be a disaster for the Bears, so I'm going to take the Cowboys here.
All right. There are all of the picks. World Series starts tonight. We will preview it with the King of Analytics, Connor McKnight, next.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bah, 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 bah. And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Friday morning. Hope you have an awesome weekend, and I hope you're completing a great week. Connor McKnight is in for Jonathan Hood. I'm Cap, 312-332-3776. Somebody just walked down the street with a half taxidermied fox. Like, the spine is showing, but the fur is still on the body.
What? Did they not get done? Like, what? Are they headed to the taxidermist to finish the job, or did they show up and we're like, you know what? That's good.
She's carrying the body of a fox to me. The spine is exposed. You could see the spinal column with the vertebrae, and then the paws and the sides still have the fur on and the face.
There's like a 1,000% chance that person's heading across the street to the medieval torture museum, isn't there?
No,
like that Venn diagram is that's right in the middle, isn't it?
And she was dressed very stylishly, like a business executive in high heels. That's so weird.
It's like a Wolf of Wall Street deleted scene. I feel like you're heading into the business meeting with your half taxidermied fox.
Yes,
I'm not leaving.
Yeah.
I'm not leaving. That's how you get the Quaaludes into work, right? It's through the half taxidermied fox.
Okay, so we have baseball starting tonight. I can't wait to watch the World Series. I'm a big baseball guy. And I'm rooting for Dusty Baker to get his World Series ring that he deserves. He's got a good team. I am all in on watching this. What about you?
Yeah, of course. Of course I'm watching the World Series.
You're not going to watch the West Texas State football game tonight, like Shea?
No, I'm taping it. I'm taping it for tomorrow morning, and then I'll take a break for White Sox Weekly to get back to the Maction on Saturday. No, I of course. I've got a lot of nursery work to do this weekend. You know, we got to build this thing and finish it out and stuff, but we'll have the World Series on all weekend long. You know how, Cap, we do every season after we crown a World Series winner or after they crown themselves, I guess? We do the whole, okay, what does this team mean about how to win in Major League Baseball? Think about the different I don't know how true that narrative is. It's probably not true at all. But think about the different lessons, right? Quote unquote lessons that we stand to learn, whether the Astros win or whether the Phillies win, right? And obviously the Astros are that heavy odds on favorite. If the Astros win, it's just this whole, well, you gotta lean so heavy into all of the math, and you gotta have bullpen arms out the wazoo. You've got to have a great starting pitching. You've got to have a lot of power. You've got to have Yordan Alvarez click it on in the post. All these things, right?
Yep.
If Philly wins, it's just hit for power and pitch pretty well, right? I think what's most amazing about the Philadelphia Phillies is that when you look at outs above average, right, for their outfield defense, they are second to last in baseball. They are not a good outfield defense. When you look at their slugging percentage, I'm talking about the regular season, they led baseball in team slugging percentage at .442. And I think, you know, of the couple of things that I want to take from this playoffs, not from the World Series, but it's this. When you have an outfield that's not real great at defense, you got to hit the hell out of the baseball. You got to slug .442 in the postseason. You got to be toward the top six, .422 in slugging percentage during the regular season. You have to slug. I also think, you know, when you look at the Phillies, when you look at, you know, because Dusty Baker is kind of that story for the Astros, right? Oh, I hope he gets a ring. And I think a lot of people are there. A lot of baseball fans are there for Dusty. Dave Dombrowski, as he's kind of redone this Phillies team, when you look at his entire career as a front office guy, that's a cool career. That's a really interesting front office man who has said, to hell with prospects, let's win ball games, and tried to do that everywhere he's been. Sure, there's been some cleanup after he's, you know, remade those rosters and spent that free agent dollar and convinced ownership that he and Scott Boras are the best people to work together with and signed a whole bunch of money contracts. But they're there, and the wins are there, and the half-taxidermied fox pelts are on the wall, right? I mean, that guy's there for you.
I look at this Houston team, and as despicable as what they did in 2017 was, and they don't even have Correa anymore, they are a wildly talented team, and they can bring multiple big-time starting pitchers to the fore. They have a solid bullpen, and then they got guys that are what I call game wreckers. Like, you keep them down, bam, game over. See you later. Thanks for coming. Like, they can beat you in so many ways. I actually don't think the World Series is close. I may be proven wrong, but I'm all in. Houston wins this pretty easily.
Well, that's the thing, too, right? I mean, in this playoffs, we saw the Braves get tossed. We saw the Dodgers get tossed. We saw the Yankees get tossed. This is a tournament now. I mean, this is not – I'm a big – 162 gives you your best team in baseball. The World Series gives you your World Series winner, and those are two very different things. And I think you can celebrate both of them, and we're always going to celebrate the World Series winner more than we are the regular series champ. I get that. But we, because of this expanded playoff field, because of the shorter series, because we've changed who we're actually, you know, kind of celebrating at the end of the season. And I don't know whether the – I mean, yeah, sure, I'd bet on the Astros if I were going to do that, if I were going to put money down on it. But I think what this playoffs has shown us maybe too is that there are no small markets in baseball anymore, or at least there don't have to be. You look at the Padres – You look where the Phillies have been spending-wise. You look at the teams that made this tournament. We don't have to do this whole small market team anymore. There are resources in baseball, and if the Padres have shown you anything, despite getting, you know, despite not making into the final two, they are that small, that quote unquote small market team that just kind of decided not to be and spent a lot of money, got good at player development, made some really nice trades, and got themselves where they got.
So if you were advising a team from your baseball background, do you spend a ton of money? How would you build a team?
I want to draft well. I want to have good contracts. I really want some on base percentage. I want all of the things. I want to be the Houston Astros. And I feel bad saying it, right? Because of what we've done with the Houston Astros conversation, because of what happened. But there's no doubt that, like, whether you read the MVP machine by Ben Lindbergh about the Houston Astros and their build of the 2017 World Series and all that stuff, there's good stuff underneath everything else that was happening there. I like the idea, and I hate in baseball when we have this conversation about prospects, right? We did this for decades, and I'm guilty of it too. I had to have my mind changed. There were a lot of people that said, listen, the minor leagues exist so that your one or two guys, your three or four prospects maybe, make it into the bigs. The rest of the guys are just there to play with them. That's not what this is anymore. And player development and who you can make into an elite guy,
yep,
depending on the role that you're putting him in, that's now you're eligible. If you're in the minor leagues, you are eligible for becoming a guy that can help your club at the big league level. And that's what the Houston Astros, I think, have done more than anything else. I would want to be, if I were building that team, Cap, I want to be at the forefront of player development, bleeding edge stuff.
All right, hold that thought. We've got to take on Bleck and Abdallah in the Big Ten Pick'em Challenge, giving you a chance to go to the Big Ten title game. That is next.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
So we're taking on Bleck and Abdallah in the Big Ten Pick'em Challenge, courtesy of our great friends at Core Hydration, Dr. Pepper. They're all intertwined. Keurig, they got the whole conglomerate there involved in this whole deal. Polar is my favorite sparkling water. They're all locked into this. The Big Ten Pick'em Challenge, Cap and J-Hood against Bleck and Abdallah as we pick the winner of every Big Ten game through November 19th, my birthday. You can choose which show you want to align with at ESPNChicagoContest.com. Whichever show has the better record will choose a winner from their pool to get a trip for you and a guest to the 2022 Big Ten Championship game in Indianapolis, including two tickets to the game, a two-night stay at the JW Marriott. Check in on December 2nd, 2022. Check out December 4th, 2022, and invites to two private Dr. Pepper events, a welcome party at the JW Marriott December 2nd, and the pregame party at Union Station before the game on December 3rd. Your travel is not covered. All right, you ready to do this, Connor?
Absolutely.
Okay, Penn State, Ohio State. We're going Ohio State, right?
Yeah, we're going Ohio State. That's easy.
Minnesota against Rutgers.
I think we've got to take the Gophers here, yes?
Let me see what the analytics site says. Snorling, you're the guy who has no life other than college football. What do you think?
If I have a voice in these picks and just picking the winner outright, Minnesota maybe has the second or third best running back in the conference in Ibrahim. Mm-hmm. I think you just pick Minnesota.
Muhammad Ibrahim?
Yeah.
I think we got to go Golden Gophers. All right, we're going to go.
Yeah, I'm good with that. I'm good with that.
Nebraska versus the Illini.
It's Brett Bielema is Illini, right? I mean, this is, yes, we go. We fight. ILL.
INI.
We are.
Big Ten Brett.
I think we go with Big Ten Brett. Okay, Iowa and Northwestern.
It's the first time Bielema and I have been aligned on something in a long time. Iowa.
Iowa's bad.
They're both bad.
Iowa's an 11-point favorite, if that helps you make the pick here.
It's at Iowa?
I know Iowa's offense is terrible. How does Northwestern score 1 point in this game? Tell me how they score 1 point.
Iowa gifts them three to start the game.
The total is only 37.5 in a college game.
Take the under.
Jeez.
Iowa can score on defense, if that helps.
All right, we'll take Iowa.
Charlie, that is harder to do than it is scoring on offense.
All right, we took Iowa. And finally, Michigan against Michigan State.
All right, so I know in the picks, I went with my heart and also tried to appeal to Shea Norling because I want him to be my friend and took Michigan State. But I feel if we're picking for the people, Cap, right? Like if we want our group to go to the Big Ten title game, right, and do the whole thing with Doc. I think we probably ought to take Michigan here for the people.
We're taking Michigan, so we'll go Ohio State, Minnesota, Illinois, Iowa, Michigan. You know,
I thought maybe you had your headphones off for this one.
Yeah, we're going there. I'm putting it in. Cap and J Hood picks.
All chalk. Seal with it the up. Picks.
We did. We went all chalk. It's a little nervous.
I'll tell you the one, though, doesn't it?
The one on here that scares me. Lincoln ain't no fun to play at. When you're a good team and you're going to Lincoln, it's no fun, man.
Yeah, the two that scare me most: Illinois at Nebraska and Minnesota at Rutgers. Rutgers, for some reason, finds a way at home sometimes. But
Minnesota's at home there.
Oh, that's at Mini?
Yeah, I listed the home team first for these.
Oh, I saw
that. As is tradition.
Got it.
Shay, I kind of want to push back on your Lincoln is a tough place to play thing because I don't see Georgia Southern as a great team.
Oh, wow.
And they went into Lincoln.
Dude, but that's a different deal. When you're a Big Ten team and you're having your dream season, Lincoln is where your dreams go to die. I've seen it happen to Michigan. I've seen it happen to Michigan State. People, when you have a dream season, your team goes in there and some witch act, some blood magic makes you struggle against a bad Nebraska team.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That was,
it's all very fair. That's all very fair.
I think Charlie just mic dropped you. That was a very, very good analysis by Charlie Bevins. Very well done. We are taking them out, so we'll see what happens and give you that chance to go to the Big Ten title game. We'll get back to some Bears convo and more. Don't forget, what do we have at 9:35? The folder today, correct?
That's right.
Friday folder at 9:35. Be right back in 2 minutes.